us all stand this morning. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. And I lift my hands, Lord, unto thy name. And I lift my hands, Lord, unto thy name. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless. Sing it to him once more, Brother Donnie comes. Oh, thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise.
Of smiling faces out there this morning. Wonderful day to come and serve the Lord and have Him serve us. You know, man's only duty is this: fear God and obey His commandments. Don't seem like a lot to stay on path here, a little there, a little, line upon line. It's like Brother Bob's been bringing in Corinthians. It ain't hard, folks. It's just being consistent and staying with it. Never turn it loose and never. He has something, believe His word, then it's up to Him to do it. I've asked things and I'm still waiting, still on the shelf. But you know what I've asked, and He knows it. Now, as we're going to Psalms 57 today, and before we read, let's just go to the author here. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this blessed day You've given us to come and gather around Your word, Lord. And we ask especially today that bless those that couldn't make it through the door today, whatever their hindrance is, Lord, You know what it is, and just be with them. And Lord, we also ask again, and I'm going to ask as long as I got breath, bring those children home. Your word says it, we believe it, and that's all that matters. Bring them home, Lord. We ask today, Father, that You just touch and bless every ear that come here today to hear. And we ask, Lord, that You just let them take it in and You send Your word to them and feed our hungry souls. And we ask today, Lord, that You bless the congregation and thank You for Your healing on them, Lord. And I'd ask today especially for a little brother that I work with out in the world. His name is Daniel Anderson. He lost his little bride and he's 32 years old. Lift him up, strengthen him, Father. He's quoting Your word, Isaiah 40:31. He had it on the casket there. And either wait upon the Lord, Lord. So let us wait. I ask You today to touch and bless Brother Wade today as he's prepared that body and brought it here, Father. He studied hard to bring Your word. May You just use that vessel to Your bidding, Lord, to get Your message out to us, Father, that we need to have today. And bless Brother Wade and just take him into Your rest as he brings Your word to us, Lord. And as he fulfills the duty of pastor here, it's not easy, Lord. But I ask You just to bless him and continue being with him. Bless all the preachers here, Lord, and just fill them, Lord, with Your word, because they bring it right and feed Your sheep, Lord. And we're a hungry bunch, and we need it, Lord. And we ask, Father, that's the only way that we can have Your mind, Father, as You feed us the word. We ask now, Lord, as we go to Your word, You just bless us and be with us. Most of all, thank You for Calvary. We ask these things in Your name. Jesus Christ. Amen. Now as we read Psalms 57, 1 through 11. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Amen. And thank you for the reading of the word. You may be seated.
Thankful to have a fixed heart, have it all fixed on him. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song, He Abides. I tell you, if you want a heart fixed on him, pull that word in you. Let it abide in your life every day. Take time to for him to speak back to you. And that way it keeps her thoughts and her heart on him. There's so many distractions in this age, but he has a promise that he'll meet you in his word. Amen.
I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the pilgrim way, for the hand of God in all my life I see. And the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all of this, that the Comforter abides.
I'm reaching.
night was turned to day. All my burdens rolled away. Now the Comforter abides with me. Oh, He abides. He abides. Hallelujah. He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way.
Your family has a special this morning, right? So we're going to ask them to go ahead and come up as we sing that chorus once more. Oh, He abides. He abides. Hallelujah. He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides.
God bless you, sis.
Above all power, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of men, You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind the stone, You lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the thought of me above all. Crucified and laid behind a stone, You lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took to fall and thought of me above all. sobre todo poder y rey, sobre toda humanidad y ley, sobre todo lo creado por tu mano, inventaste todo, mi Señor. Sobre todo reino y nación y maravillas que el mundo conoció, sobre toda riqueza y esplendor, para ti, mi Dios. En la cruz moriste por amor, no bastó dolor y humillación como flor que alguien pisó. Y fue por mí, por amor. Crucified and laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and taught of me above all.
Hallelujah. To be thought of is such a wonderful feeling. To be his thoughts express. And beyond that, to be a part of the thinker. Amen. Thank you, sister, for that song. We really appreciate it. Let's all stand, and we'll sing Word of God Ever True as our brother comes this morning. You know, one of my favorite quotes I heard Brother Branham say, he said, as you receive the word, you become the word. It sounds very simple sometimes, but it can be very tough. Take some dying out to, take some letting go, receiving, embracing, and believing. But it's possible, because as his word comes forth this morning, say, Lord, let it be a revelation to me. That's what faith is a revelation to our hearts. And I'm thankful for the word of God. Amen. Another thing I remember Brother Billy Paul telling, what Brother Branham said, it's not in the quote, but it was in one of his testimonies. He said, the Bible is the only book in the world that the author is there to reveal it as you read it. Think about that. All the other authors are out on their yachts and we're paying for their bills and stuff, but the Bible is free and he's there to reveal it. So wonderful. Who could think of something like that? So as the word comes forth, he's there. Just take it, receive it, say, I believe it, and he'll quicken it to you. Amen. Holy words long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh,
us strength, oh, it helps us go. In this world, wherever we roam, the Word of God will guide us home. Oh, Word of God,
bless you, buddy, the gentleman.
Ever true, changing me is changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the Word of God impart holy words of our faith, handed down to this age. Came to us through sacrifice.
Oh, aren't you glad they sacrificed their life sometimes to get this message here to us?
Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the Word of God,
sing it to us.
Word of God, it's ever true. Change
it'll never change. We change, but it'll never change.
We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the Word of God impart.
Amen. God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be back in the country. Brother Luis and I and Sister Christine have been on a journey and got back last Sunday night late, and we sure do appreciate the prayers and all the, we just had a good time. It was a surprise. I've been to Jamaica 11 times and been to Philippines a couple of times, and I thought we were in for some hot weather, but come to find out it was pretty pleasant where we were, so we sure appreciate the Lord letting us go and speak to the people. If you want to see any of it, it's online. I told somebody the other day, I think the days of giving reports are about over. You can go online and look at pretty much the whole thing, the whole journey and everything we did, so if you, pictures and all. But we will give a little report maybe later on about some things that happened that were wonderful. But the brothers and sisters in Honduras are wonderful people. We've got some here that are with us today and part of the congregation, and we sure do appreciate them. And they got us to behave because their dad's coming. Brother Donald and Brother Onan, brother back there, your dad will be here in just a few weeks, so you better straighten up. But we'll have Brother Donaldo with us, Lord willing, on the 5th. Of January. So we want to make a few announcements here real quick, and then we'll get started with the Word of God. Good to have our visitors with us. God bless you, brother, and your family. Be with us. The brother back there has been with us before, and Luis reminded me of that. And then we got some brothers that got lost back there. Him and his family come from Arizona. They must have took the wrong turn again and got out here. So good to have you with us again, brother, you and your family. So God bless you. Just worship the Lord the way you know how to worship the Lord. Amen. We don't have nothing to join. Brother Josie, you need to be really happy. Your family's wonderful. Wonderful family. We sure appreciate that. That was some good singing, and we sure appreciate the gift that God give each and every one of you. So remember now, the service is here Tuesday night, 8 o'clock. We've been a church for 50-something years, and now we're going to have we've never not had a watch night service, so we're going to continue to have them, and it will be at 8 o'clock. Brother Andrew Glover will be here. We'll have the preaching first, then we'll have singing and testimony up until midnight, and right at midnight we'll take communion like we always have. All right, now, so that means there will be no communion the next Sunday on January the 5th, because we'll take it on the 1st, and Brother Donaldo will be here with us on that day. No service on Wednesday. And just remember, bring finger food. We'll be here around 6:30 downstairs in the fellowship hall. Around 6:30, bring finger food and some things to snack on. And then we'll eat before, and then we'll eat something after. Let the crazy people get home. the fireworks people and the other kind of people, we'll let them get to home, and we'll just stand around and sit around and fellowship until that happens. So the ones you've never been here before, we've always had a watch night service. Never not since Dad, since the church started in 1971, we've never not had one. So we always have a wonderful time there. They say what you do at the end of the year, you know, starting the first of the year, January the 1st is at midnight, we're going to take communion. So maybe the communion of the Lord will be a whole lot better this year than it's ever been before. That's my prayer. So also remember Brother Eric Gallo, which we were just with this past week in Honduras. He'll be here on January the 15th, which is a Wednesday night. January the 18th, Brother Darrell Ward will be with us. We'll have our 3 o'clock fellowship / youth service on that Saturday, and we'll have a meal on January the 18th, and he'll be here preaching for us on the 19th. And then later on, in February the 15th, we'll have our annual Valentine's banquet down at the Hidden Acres, where we have our functions down there. On February the 15th, Brother Burley Williams. He's a good brother. I like Brother Burley. But he'll be speaking for us, and we'll have that night of no kids, bring your date, have a good time, dress up, church will feed you, and then we'll have games and prizes. So that'll be on February the 15th. So I think we got all the announcements out of the way, except for one more thing. On the month of February, except for the 15th and 16th, or 15th and 16th, because Brother Burley will be on the 16th, what we're going to do is, I've been talking to Brother Joe Canada for about a couple of months. What we're going to do in February, February is usually a bleak month, and you don't do anything, and you're not on vacation, and I'm not ever going to say that before, but I'm glad about 20 of us are not here today, because we'd have to put out chairs. But we got a bunch of people that are on vacation still and not back. Pray for Brother Aaron. He had to go in early this morning. He was supposed to be leading singing. He had to work. And then my sister and Richard are gone, and several ones, the Trobs. So we just pray to get them back home, get these holidays over with, and get everybody back. So usually in February, nobody takes a vacation. So what we're going to do is the Sunday that we have, only one service now. So after that service, every weekend in February, every Sunday after service, we're going to have either a sewing class for the sisters, a canning class, cooking class for the brothers. Praise the Lord. Some need it bad. We're going to look into doing some, if anybody wants to learn how to shoot archery or shooting, we're going to take some time. We're not going to shoot in the church. I'll do that from here. And everybody says, amen. So anyway, we're going to go down to my house. I have a shooting range there. And we can go down there and learn how to, I have a friend of mine, Mike Queen, and he's a certified instructor. We get him to come and teach us how to shoot a firearm. And then we thought about having this several years ago, and we kind of dropped it. But we're going to have a computer class one Sunday afternoon. We'll schedule this and let you know that where Brother Joe and some of the techie guys are going to tell us how to use the table, how to use the folio views. I only know a couple of moves, and that's about it. I'd like to learn some of the other stuff, so we'll have that. And it's all whatever you want to do. You don't have to do it, or you can if you want to. And then also, I was talking to Brother Luis while we were over in Honduras. We may have a simple Spanish class one Sunday afternoon, all to get together and just learn how to speak English. Now we're going to have to learn French. Oh, sister, come on. You can't. Yeah, now we're going to learn how to speak French. So brother and sister back there can help us, Brother Ebenezer. But the sewing class has already started. I want y'all to know the past 2 days I ain't seen my wife. She's been at somebody's house sewing, teaching her how to sew. I don't know who that is, but her husband's laughing and standing right beside him. So that's already started. But you know what? If we believe the Lord can come anytime. You know that. And we're serious about that. But if we have to live life, I want us to live it good. I want us to be able to function as a church and as individuals and learning how to sew. If you learn how to sew, you won't bring it to my wife to sew. So, It's very simple, and it's easy to do. Canning is good. Mom learned, knows how to can. June does, several, but several don't. We've got some young sisters that are coming up that if you start looking for husbands, your resume now is going to have to be canning, cooking, sewing, probably shooting and archery, too, and a foreign language. So the Lord bless you. Let's turn in the Bible to, like I said, we love the Lord, and we love people. We love all of you. Let's go to the book of Psalms. What we're going to do today is we've been speaking, for those of you that are new, we've been speaking for now a year on the Son of Man ministry, and now we've come into the transition from as we say, from Brother Branham and his healing campaign into the opening of the Word, which is the seals and the different things and the mysteries of God. We believe in the mysteries. We believe if the book's open, we can read it. Amen. If Brother Brown preached it, so can we. That's what he did it for. He gave it to us to preach and to break it down to the people. So let's turn to the book of Psalms real quick, and then I'll let you be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the day that you give us. Thank you for each person here, Lord. I pray that you'd anoint each one of us, Lord, to hear from you. Lord, that you would be the active participant in this service, Lord. You do the speaking. Lord, may we do the hearing, Father. Bless the ones that are sick that are not here, Lord. We have several that are out sick. I pray that you touch their bodies, Lord. We have some that are traveling. They won't be back for a few days, Lord. I pray that you'd be with them, Lord. Be with our Watch Night service. Be with Brother Andrew Glover, Lord, as he comes and ministers for us. And then just be with us the rest of this year coming up, Lord. If you tarry, Lord, we'll be here, Father. And if you're not, we're going to be home, and we'll be just a happy bunch of people. So, Father, just be with us now. Forgive us of our sins and many mistakes, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The book of Psalms is the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth. Now, what we're going to do today is purified seven times. So we know that number seven is completion, and that completes the work. We know we're in the seventh church age. All right? Is everybody with me? We're in the seventh church age. We've had a seventh angel messenger. He's come. He's brought his message. He has went off the scene. He did not take the Holy Ghost with him. He did not take the Word with him. He left that for us. Amen. To be the final voice to the final age. Verse 7, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. This generation forever. Matthew 17, verse 9, as they came down from the mountain, remember this is a Mount Transfiguration where Jesus was, he shone like a light, and Moses and Elijah showed up, and a voice come and said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged him, saying, tell the vision. So there was a vision there to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Now, we know he was killed physically 2,000 years ago, but today the Lord just impressed on me to go back and read the message of the indictment. And I'm not indicting anybody today. Brother Ram's already indicted. Let the prophet do it. But we're going to see how that, though, transitioned. If we're transitioning to perfection, that had to happen, and it had to happen exactly when it happened. All right? Because God doesn't make a mistake. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. Now remember, John the Baptist did not restore all things. So he's talking about another Elijah. The next Elijah to come is to restore all things. And they didn't understand that. So he said, okay, we're talking about John the Baptist. You just do what they did to him, what they listed. They're going to do it to me. But I'm going to die on a cross. And then what they're going to do in the end time, I got to send another Elijah because they're going to crucify me again. All right, so let's be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now remember, Malachi 4, I was telling the group in Honduras, I told them, I said, you know, the love of God, I know God loved me because he did something for me, brothers and sisters. He sent me Elijah the prophet. He didn't send him to you. Don't get quiet. He didn't send him to you. He sent him to me. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he's going to do something. He didn't just come here and preach and leave. He did something. We know John the Baptist turned the heart of the fathers, which was the fathers in the Old Testament, to the new Pentecostal babies when the day of Pentecost, But from the day of Pentecost until now, they have taken and put many denominational ideas. They put many creeds, many dogmas, and it just eroded the word down. It didn't erode the word. It was the effect of the word on the people. And something had to happen to restore that back, because Jesus said they're going to kill me the second time also. All right? This vision is not going to come until the Son of Man be risen again in the end time, which is now, because I'll read to you where Brother Brown tells us that and why he indicted. But now remember, God has a perfect timing. All right? He's always perfect, always on time, never makes a mistake. So, and we'll look at it in the sequence of what Brother Branham did and how he announced the indictment. But we're going to read that one more time, that he turned the heart of the children. That, I'm talking about the soul. That's not your thumping gizzard heart, as my dad always says. It's your soul. So he's going to turn our soul back. He's going to literally put us in another place that has not been before. He's going to take the word of God, and he's going to restore all things back through, even the seals and everything. He's going to open up, and we're going to have an open book to learn of the word of God, see what God's done. And as Brother Joe was saying, the author is the one that's going to teach us how to read the book that he wrote. All right? So that's why I believe with the Holy Ghost in the end time, with the Holy Ghost that we have, it's not a different Holy Ghost, but it's more of it. Yes. More of it. That we're going to know more and have more of the mind of God than ever before, because it's a requirement for us to get back to the Son of Man ministry, which was perfect. That ministry is and was perfect. Yes. Jesus never made a mistake. He never said, oops. He never said, I didn't mean to say that. Everything he said, the Father agreed with, because he and him were one. And then the Holy Ghost is who? Some other person? No, the Holy Ghost is not another person. It's the same person. So he's not going to change his mind when he amorphied into the group of people on the day of Pentecost. He didn't change his mind. His mind still said, and Paul picked it up and said, we must have that mind to continue on. But what happened was, in the dark ages and all the ages coming up, I have to slow down. I forget Luis is interpreting in there. And listen, let me tell you something. Brother Luis, just give him a star while he's here. Those people in Central America, they love that guy. They love that guy. I mean, they love him. And he does good for them. He's just not there. He's not a glamour hog. He likes to get in with a group of people and sit there and eat their food and be with them. And we sure do appreciate having Brother Luis with us. And he interpreted for me, so I preached 5 sermons. He preached 6. He preached 1 singular and then 5 for me. So we sure do appreciate him back there interpreting now. So sometimes I forget and take off, but I'll slow down a little bit. Now, when Brother Branham comes on the scene, we were talking about it weeks ago. When Brother Branham comes on the scene, he had a message to bring, but it had a twofold meaning. All right? Everybody with me? It had a twofold meaning. Because he told us in the Church Age book, he said, this messenger of Malachi 4 will do 2 things. Number 1, just what I said, turn the hearts of the children, Babylon, Pentecostal, children, babies, back to the original Pentecost, a growth development. All right? But then not stop there, to continue on and open up the word where it's never been seen before. Jesus, when he went off the scene, he was the seals himself. Nobody understood him. Nobody knew who he was. When he came back on the day of Pentecost, he came back in a form of the Holy Ghost in the people. But they didn't have everything they needed for a rapture, because you and I are the ones that's going to get that whole open book for the rapture of the church. Everybody with me? The opening of the seals, the opening all the different mysteries of God. And I was telling that group over there, and they really rejoiced, because every service I'd tell them that... our brother here is new and here in the church, and we've been under a teaching ministry. My dad, for 50 years, he's been the pastor of the church, 40-something years, and he passed on to be with the Lord. But we had a wonderful teaching ministry. And we know one thing's for sure. Sometimes we don't understand everything. But God said he would give it to us in the time that we needed it. All right? But you got to make yourself available. You can't say, I don't know what he's saying, and just shut your ears off. You got to keep your ears open and listen. I told the Hondurans over there, I said, look, as I've told y'all before, there's 2 things There's two revelations that I got from this message that if I don't get another revelation, this will sustain me to the rapture. Number one is I don't have to stand the tribulation period. I will not be, if I'm born again today, I'll never in my life be in a tribulation period. Everybody else, billions of people will go through the tribulation period without the Holy Ghost. Thank God he sent us a prophet to tell us we didn't have to do that. Because if you'll talk to Baptists, you talk to Methodists, you talk to Catholics, every one of them's got to go through the tribulation. You talk to them and ask them, oh yeah, we got it. We're just not worthy. We can't do this. Well, God sent us a prophet to tell us we are worthy. What's already been in the Bible, that we're worthy, we're white, we have no wrinkles, we have no spot. So we don't have to go through the tribulation. And the second thing is, we'll never have to stand before the white throne judgment. Ever. We're going to be in judgment judging, but we will never have to stand that horrible place to give an account of what you did. I don't want to give an account of what I did. I don't want to be judged by my works, the Bible says. I want to be judged by his works. And when I stand before the white throne, I'll be in judgment, not judged. Not judged. Because the saints will judge the earth. How are we going to judge the earth? Because we're starting it right now. Right now, we're judging now whether this message is right or wrong. We're judging now whether this is right and whether this is wrong. We're judging the world by walking into Walmart or different places. Walk through the country, as I was telling the sisters over in Honduras. You got something, you got a position that's greater even than the men. I mean, me and Brother Donnie, we put on regular clothes and we go down through the, I mean, we're not tatted up and don't have earrings where they don't need to be and all kind of things and long hair. But really, we're just common guys. Brother Ryan, you know, you meet him on the road. I deliver mail for the post office, and Ryan drives a chicken truck and kills millions of chickens every day. And doesn't care a thing about it. So, but anyway, just money to you, right? But you see him driving down the road, that's not a testimony. Now, we know he is a testimony. We know that. But a sister, just one of you sisters, just walk through Walmart. You walk into the grocery store. You walk anywhere. And you're a testimony because people. Now, there's a lot of women that people go this, and it ain't right. But when you, it's a shock factor. It's a shock factor. There's a man in our community. He's been to church here before, and he met us in Walmart one time, and I saw him walk by. June was standing there, and he walked by, Roger Korn, tall guy, and he walked by, and all I saw was he looked back down the aisle again. Well, he came down there, and he said, God bless you, sister. I appreciate you. I love seeing somebody dressed godly, and he's a Pentecostal man. So, see, you're there to be the witness for us, but remember, we're all feminine in the body, so we have to contain ourselves and be right. Also, men, we have to show and project the love of God because we are all feminine in the body of Christ. But we are not going to have to go through the tribulation. We're not going to have to stand judgment. We have passed from death unto life. And to me, that's two great revelations that if I don't get another one, that's good enough for me. That God's preserved me and protect me here. I don't care heartache, trials, tribulations, whatever we go through, we got to look at the promise. We got to look. Abraham looked at the promise. He didn't look at the circumstances. If we look at the circumstances, we're just going to get bogged down with this stinking world that we live in. Praise the Lord. But God did send us a way out. He sent us. Now, we know he sent the Holy Ghost, not through Brother Branham. You should be able to receive the Holy Ghost without knowing who Brother Branham was. Okay? Everybody with me? He's not your Holy Ghost. He had the Holy Ghost. And you got to get your own Holy Ghost. And when you get the Holy Ghost, as I've said many times before, if you get the Holy Ghost, you'll not leave this message. It'll be so much inside of you till it just becomes part of you and there's no way you can leave it because God can't fight God. But now Satan can fight God, and he does. By false doctrine and all the different things. But if you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your soul, you can't turn God down.
No.
You can't turn this message down.
No.
This is a believer's message. You become an unbeliever when you can't believe what God sent us in the end time according to the word of God, not according to somebody's thought or idea, but according to the word of God. I see more and more how God sent us something special. Yes, absolutely. But you got to take a hold of it, though. You can't just say God sent us somebody and we appreciate him. No, you got to live it. We got to live the Bible first. And when you live the Bible first and you get the true baptism of the Holy Ghost in your soul, God will bring you up through that statue of perfect man if you'll ask him to do it. You got to ask God. Remember, Brother Branham says, God told us through him that the Holy Ghost is very timid. Now, no one else has ever told us that. But the prophet of God said the Holy Ghost is very timid. He's not going to jump into your house and start knocking doors down. No. You're going to invite him in by the new birth. But there's still going to be doors that, you know, like I've said many times before, if I was the Holy Ghost, thank God I'm not. If I was the Holy Ghost, I'd be, Brother Josie, I'd be kicking them doors down, seeing what's behind it. But no, God's timid. He said, if you'll let me in there, I'll help you. If you don't, then I can't help you. But thank God he sent us a prophet to tell us that too. Without a prophet, we'd be lost. We'd be absolutely lost bunch of people. But thank God that he did send him to me, not you. You got to believe that for yourself. All right? So now Brother Branham comes to a time and he starts out and turn to Luke 23, verse 33. And we're transitioning now, Brother Branham, from 1947 to about 1962. We're going to see here in a minute. He's having healing campaigns, and he's bringing a little bit of the word, and he's I don't say he's not compromising at all, but he's not blasting the denomination so much, maybe in 59 and so where he preached, why am I against organized religion? But remember when the seals broke, he said, I know now why I hated that thing. I know now why I hated that thing. Why I hated that denomination. Why? He saw the spirit behind it. He saw that rider was that Antichrist spirit that was in the churches. All right? And it could be in this one if we don't drive him out. Come on, somebody. Listen, the devil got here before you did. He's sitting right beside you. Brother Josie, you're good. There's nobody sitting beside you. But the devil.
I know.
Okay. So God sent a prophet to do two things. Remember, he's turning us back. And then he's going to reveal the seals that's never been revealed before since Jesus left the face of the earth. The seals are going to be open. And he says many, many times, and we'll get into it, we're going to start in the major doctrines here in January. Help us to maybe understand what the third pull is. Some marriage and divorce and different things that he talked about that have been diluted by the messengers of the preachers in the church. So we're going to try to bring it the way that we see that God sent us a prophet to give us this. He sent that man to me to give me this. And whatever this is, you got to hang on to it. All right. So he brought it to me. So maybe I can hand it out to you and you can use it for your benefit. All right. But remember, in 1962, we see that he preached some of the great messages of Spoken Word's original seed. He preached on, a restoration of the bride tree and the different things. If you're not familiar with it, go back and look at your dates, because dates do mean things. All right? I'm not much into all that, but God does have a timing. You didn't get here until God saw you was going to get here. All right? Never before, not after. He's always on time. So in December of 1962, Brother Branham announces, now listen, 1962, December, all right, he announces that he's going to preach an indictment. I want to bring the ministers together. I didn't bring all the quotes, but there's some of them in here we'll read if we have time. But he says, I'm going to bring this indictment. I'm going to get all the ministers together. This is not for the sinner. See, we ought to be sitting here today full of the Holy Ghost and not sinners. And then God can use you different than he, to get you saved is one thing. But to get you up that statue of perfect man, to get you where he can speak through you is a different story. It's a different anointing. Amen? It's not a different Holy Ghost. It's a different anointing. And Brother Brown even tells us that the Holy Ghost will only work from what you bring him. Yeah. Whatever you bring him, if you bring him garbage, he can't work. But if you bring him the word and you bring him an honest heart and you bring him something that's viable, God, I'm sorry. I'm at a place that I don't know where I'm good or bad, right or wrong. I don't know where I'm at. My kids are going off here. This is going off of there. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. But say, God, you told me, you promised me if I'd open my heart, you'd give me something. And you made me a promise as Abraham stood. Abram stood many years before he was turned to Abraham. He stood many years with one promise. You're going to bring a child. And what happened was, Abram's just like us. He tried to figure it out on his own. He tried to help God and got a wild child from it. Give his wife away twice. Didn't go where he's supposed to do. God said, get up and leave. He didn't tell him and Lot to get up and leave. He told him to get up and leave. But the first thing Abram did was he took his friend with him. He took Lot with him. He brought somebody, and Lot was just the burden in his bag. Same way with us. We have things that when God tells us to get up and walk, what do? We leave and want to bring all this stuff with us. That's kind of like justification. Justification. He cleans you up, but the demon is still there. So your Lot is still there. What he's got to do is he's got to get to one place to where Abram stood one day and said, all right, we got to separate. Which one do you want? I'll take the other. Well, in sanctification, what happens? The unclean spirit. I'm not calling Lot an unclean spirit because the Bible said he had a righteous soul. But I'm telling you that in the analogy is Abram didn't get blessed until Lot left him. So your Lot, whatever your Lot is, whatever your demon is, whatever your whatever you call whatever you want to, it's the devil. I told him over there in Honduras, I said, you got the same demons, they just speak English. So anyway, and French. Not to leave the French out. The French too. But we do, we have the same demons, and they act pretty much the same way. Okay? But he got rid of Lot, and God started what? God started dealing more with Abram. He started sanctification process. He got the unclean spirit out, and he started same way with us in our journey. We get rid of our Lot, and then we come up to still make mistakes. Still make mistakes. Abram still made a mistake. He made a mistake when he was Abraham. Come on. When he got to become Abraham, that didn't make him God. That made God closer to him. But he still gave his wife away in his new birth. So we're still going to have problems. Now, he didn't get the new birth, but the analogy of what's going on or the allegory that we're trying to prove there with Abram's journey as he walked, he got rid of stuff. That's what you and I got to do. We got to get rid of stuff. Paul even tells us it's that weight that so easily besets us. What does it do? It hinders our walk, keeps us behind. And how to get rid of it is, just get rid of it. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That's the hardest verse in the whole Bible for us to really, really believe. It's just resist him and he'll flee from you. The problem is we entertain him and think that he might flee from us. Hello, somebody. Amen. Well, pray for me. So in December 1962, Brother Branham makes an announcement. He said, I'm going to get a group together and I'm going to of ministers, and I'm going to not talk to sinners. I'm going to indict a generation. That's why I read that scripture in Psalms, that God would preserve a generation. You and I are that last generation. I was thinking yesterday, when we come to 2025, I know a lot of y'all that's been in the message and us for a long time, you'd have never thought 2025 would have ever been a calendar that we had to buy. Hello? But it's here. But we're 1 year closer to the coming of the Lord. This thing is shortening down. Whether you believe it or not, this thing is getting closer and closer. And now we see that the world is now lining up. The world's getting ready to boil over. And we're sitting here sometimes on our hands. Can't get to church, can't do this, can't do that. Let every little weight easily beset us. We can't do that. We got to run this race. Paul didn't say walk. He said, run this race, but run it with patience. You got to continue on. This is not a microwave religion. It's a crockpot religion. In other words, you turn it on low and you go and you keep going and you keep going and keep going. You come back, you get ready to eat. That's the way it's been for these, ever how many years you've been in the message. But there will come a time, there is going to come a time that we're going to see, as believers, we're going to see the end time. We're going to see the culmination of every one of these promises that God's given us. You're not going to stop it. Like Brother Brown said, you can start tomorrow, tonight. And you can pray that the sun don't come up tomorrow. And I'll promise you, according to the Word of God, about 6 o'clock in the morning, that sun's going to break a horizon because God set it in motion. You didn't. So Brother Brown comes to a time and he reads this scripture here, Luke 23:33. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And we know that he took the four words, and we'll look at them in a minute. But he took that, and listen to how God done. In December of 1962, he makes that announcement. All right? In January of 1963, he makes another announcement. I'm going to indict this generation. I'm going to indict these ministers, all right? Now, that's January 1963. Now, the seals open in March of 1963. Everybody with me? March the 18th through the 24th is when the seals open, at least open to the prophet, and then now it's open to us if we'll believe it. But now, in 1963, he waits until July the 7th, 7-7, 1963, and he preaches the indictment. He goes to Jeffersonville, and he indicts the whole generation for the second crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Now, how did he do that? He did that because of the opening of the seals. He didn't do it before, he would have done it. Because he said in December, I'm going to do it. He said in January, I'm going to do it. He said, it's on my heart to do this. Well, he had to wait almost 7 months before God gave him the okay to preach it. Because now the seals are open. He sees where the Antichrist spirit is. He knows it's those denominations. He knows that they're crucifying him again. And then he can make that statement. I can't do that. I can't indict a generation. A prophet can only do that. Because remember, he doesn't reveal anything until he reveals it to the prophet. Now, when he reveals it to the prophet, I can read it. And we can understand that this transition that Brother Branham was looking at, he was looking at the people. They're not getting it. Remember, I read you in questions and answers on the seal. He said, you're not getting it. It's not for you. It's gone from you. Well, now, then he just wasted 8 days of preaching then, if it was to nobody. But it was to a group of people that comes to a mature place to where those seals can open. And they weren't sitting there then. They're sitting here now. Right. I say this day, this scripture is fulfilled. Amen. In your heart and in your ears, you can hear this. Amen. Brother Brown said, we'll have thus saith the Lord or sit still. Well, I say, according to the word of God, thus saith the Lord, we can understand the seals now. Thus saith the Lord, we can be a bride of Christ that'll take a rapture. We can be a group of people that'll even take a body change. That your body will absolutely be changed in the moment, twinkling of an eye. I don't care how old it is. I don't care how young it is. All the old people, they love that body change. The young people, as I said, I told them over in Honduras the same thing. I said, when I preach the body change, brothers, you're a little bit older, but some of the young people, they go, what do you mean body change? I don't have no aches and pains. And I jump up out of the bed and get my clothes on, and I go to work, and I work 3 jobs and come home and then go out and play and all blah, blah, blah. And all of us old people are going, even come quickly, Lord Jesus, because we have to get up in shifts. We have to get up. We'll tell your feet to get up, tell your arms to get up, and hope that they get up on the same level. That's why Brother Donnie, every time we do that, he says, amen. Being in your 70s, it does make a difference. Because I'll be 65 in a few weeks, and it's pretty tough. Don't laugh. Brother Joe. But it is. I mean, but we got to all, though, come to a place to where we're tired of living here. We're tired of going to the doctor. We're tired of taking pills to stay alive. Am I not with somebody today? Is somebody not? We're just tired of this place. Amen. We love our kids and grandkids, and some of you weird people love your job. So other than that, it's just getting worse and worse. Listen, it's like Brother Bob or Brother Aaron said, I don't care who you put in the White House, it ain't going to get no better. Nothing's going to get better as far as the world is. But praise God, the bride's going to get better. The bride's not going to fall apart. The true bride is going to absolutely stand at the end time and say, come on, bring it on. Bring it on. And God's obligated to bring it to us. Because somebody is going to fulfill the scripture. Somebody is. I'm just dumb enough to believe it's me and you too. So Brother Brown tells us in 1963, he preaches this message, the indictment. And we'll talk about that for just a few minutes. The word indictment is a formal charge or accusation of a serious crime. All right? An indictment for conspiracy. A thing that serves to illustrate that a system. Brother Branham was looking at a system. He wasn't looking at individuals. He was looking at a system. All right? A thing that serves to illustrate that a system or situation is bad and deserves to be indicted. The example of these rapidly escalating crime figures are an indictment of our society. So, Brother Branham, I think he just got to a place to where he took all he's going to take. Listen, Brother Brown never compromised. But he did watch what he was doing, because you watch him when he's preaching several sermons in different places. He's careful. But once you get up to about 19 right here, he ain't careful no more. He's bringing it. And, if you watched that movie the series The Chosen, Jesus has been all nice and kind for about 3 seasons or 2.5 seasons. And all of a sudden, he looked at him and what'd he say? He said, it's fixing to get rough. Because he'd had enough. And then you finally see him confronting the religion of the day. He was confronting them all the time. He kind of avoided them a little while. But when you come to the place to where the Son of Man just gets tired, sick and tired of being sick and tired, he's going to bring his message. Now remember, when Jesus brought his message, that's when people hated him. And I was telling him over in Honduras, the world, listen, sinners is not going to, they're not your persecution. Sinners don't bother me. I know who they are. They know who they are. And they act the way sinners act. But it's when a religious person, come on somebody, it's when a religious person brings something to you that's totally false. Well, who killed Jesus? The sinners didn't hate him. Even some of the publicans didn't hate him. They believed in him. Who hated him? The religious group of the day hated the Son of Man. Now, if we believe the Son of Man ministry is in a group of people today, that same ministry is going to have the same characteristics, and it's going to cause the same reaction. Your worst enemy is going to be supposedly your brother. Everybody with me? If it was then, it's got to be now. Everything, if you want to know what the Son of Man ministry is, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's your Son of Man ministry. And that's what you and I are under now, the Son of Man ministry. Because what happened was, is when he indicted this generation in July the 7th of 1963, and then on same month in July the 28th, he preaches Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed, one of the greatest sermons he ever preached in his life. And he brought the bride together and put the world out. Come on, somebody. He brought the bride together. He said, if you don't get it in this, if you don't get the seals, come back and listen to this message right here. He said, this is the most important message, in other words, that I've ever preached right here. Couldn't preach it till after the seals open. To tell us where Christ is. Not where he was, where he is. Christ is the mystery. Not was, he is the mystery. Who is this Melchizedek? Who is he today? He's God in human flesh. He's in you and I. Listen, John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh. That's happening right now. That happened 2,000 years ago. Amen. Absolutely. But now that Son of Man ministry, that same God is coming into human flesh, into me and you. And we are the Son of Man for the end time. We are the people of God that's going to manifest God. So you are, John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Reproach for the cause of the Word, 1962. Now watch. Here it is. That's in 1962. He begins and he says, at Phoenix, God willing, I hit a word the other day. I'm going to indict this generation for killing Jesus Christ. Pretty harsh. Because physically he didn't die. But they killed his doctrine. Crucifying him afresh. I'm going to bring an indictment before that ministerial association. I remember 1962, December. God willing. They are guilty of the blood of Jesus Christ for crucifying him afresh. Yes, sir. Indict the whole. He didn't leave anybody out. Peter indicted them on the day of Pentecost. I never thought of this till I read that. But Peter did. He stood up and indicted them. He said, you with wicked hands have crucified the Prince of Life, who God raised up. We are witnesses. He brought an indictment. I'm going to take the Word of God, indict every denomination there is, and every man on the face of the earth that's guilty of the blood of Jesus Christ. God help me to be his attorney at that day. Amen. He had to wait 7 months. He had to wait till the seals open. He had to wait till July to do that. And then remember, he preached, there they crucified him. There, the most holy place. They, the most holy people. Crucified the worst death, the King of Glory. Can we do it again? They already have. Any denominational idea we have is killing him afresh. You can amen if you want to. I don't care. It's the truth. Any any idea away from the Word of God is Antichrist. Any idea. That's why we got to be so careful. That's why we got to be so precise. That's why that sword cuts real sharp both ways. So let's read now. Here we are in the indictment. Now watch. In July, in Jeffersonville. I want to kind of use it more like a courtroom. And after all, the pulpit in the church is a courtroom. The Bible said it's a judgment seat. And it must begin at the house of the Lord. And this is like the throne and the jury and the witnesses and so forth. I have today for my witness God's word. And my indictment is against the churches of today. Now, I'm not bringing the sinner into this. He's just separated right there. I'm bringing religious people. I'm not bringing the sinners into this. I'm just speaking this to the church. And it being the tapes, and I try to get through as quick as I can, I indict this generation for the second crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And now to do this in this age that we live in, I do this, I must show an evidence. If I have to bring an indictment, you have to show an evidence of the criminal offense that's been done. I have to indict them. I have to bring the evidence to prove it. And it is that what I'm saying will stand up before the main judge. Look how confident he is. Because the seals are open. I mean, the whole word's there. There's nothing compromised. There's nothing that he's worried about. What I'm saying will stand up before the main judge, which I take myself as an attorney to this indictment, that the Word of God being my witness, I indict this generation for the crucifixion. Now watch. I must show and will show that the same Spirit is on the people today that brought the first crucifixion. Wow. And doing the same thing. I must do that. It's going to be a crucifixion that they've crucified. I must show to the people that the same attitude in the people today. Now, how'd you like to be a denominational minister sitting in that congregation right then? And he's talking to you. He ain't talking to somebody else. He's talking to you. I must show the people that the same attitude in the people today is doing the same thing spiritually they did physically then. Now watch. It could not have been done a few years ago. Look how precise God is. Because we're transitioning to perfection, we had to come through something that was partial to get to perfection. All right? So the perfection was the book's open now, and you can call what is. All right? It could not have been done a few years ago. I say 50 years ago it could not have been done. But today this is very timely. And it could not have been done maybe 10 years ago, but it can be done today because time is running out, or run out. And we're at the end time. They are the greatest religious city. They, the most religious people, crucified the most shameful death. Him, the most precious person. If that ain't enough to condemn this generation. Listen, he wasn't condemning sinners. He wasn't condemning prostitutes. He was condemning religious people. Everybody with me? I hope I make a point here. That's why this transition to perfection has got to be so real that we transition out of that. Well, it's okay if you do this. And well, it might be okay if you do that. And it might be, well, I think he meant this. And well, I think he meant that. No. No, Brother Branham knew what God said. He knew what God meant. He had the love letter in his hand. He got the revelation. He got the vision that Jesus said, tell that vision to no one until the Son of Man be risen again. So that vision is now open to me and you that we can look at it and see what he's preached and how to live and how to understand what God's done and how to understand what God said already. Not something new. We don't bring nothing new. They're the most religious organization. The biggest of all the churches gathered together in one place. They, the most religious people of all the races, the people who are supposed to be the very worshipers of God, they gathered at the greatest holy feast they got, the cleansing of the Passover, when they were brought from bondage into liberty. And there in that time, they at that time, the most religious people in the most religious feast at the most religious place, brought upon the Prince of Life the most shameful thing that could have been done. Strip a man and hang him on a tree. Because cursed, the law said, that they worship by. Cursed is he that hangs on a tree. And he was made a curse for us. Stripped his clothes, beat him and mocked him, the very God of heaven. Capital punishment, Brother Brown says. Now listen. He's talking to everybody. Now watch. Where you meet is under the shed blood. You and I, same way today. Not a thought, not an idea, not a concept, but the very blood of Jesus Christ. And even Brother Brown tells us in this transformation, when he's preaching to us, he's telling us that we are now the blood by the Spirit. The bride is the blood by the Spirit. Amen? Amen. You are the literal blood. Listen, that's why, I just caught that. That's why you don't have to stand judgment, because you're the blood. You don't have to stand in tribulation because you're the blood. If we're the blood by the Spirit, then we're the only thing that's keeping this world together. The blood of Jesus Christ is all over us, keeping us. It's actually keeping the world from falling apart. But there's going to come a time, though, when they're going to have enough of us, just like they did Jesus, and they're going to do the same thing. They may not kill us physically. They may absolutely try their best to break us up, move us, and try to get us to do things wrong. But the bride's got to hold on. You and I, if we're the bride, it's like somebody said a long time ago, that the bride's not looking real good. Well, that's not what the Bible says. You're looking at the mixed multitude. You're looking at the false prophets. You're looking at the foolish virgin. The brides always look good. Listen, Jesus wouldn't have married us if we weren't a pretty bride. He knows who we are. He knows our potential. We just got to open up and use that potential. Bring that potential to the forefront. So that this year coming up, that our resolution is to be better Christians, closer to God than ever before. Read the Word of God more than we've ever read it before. Pray more than we've ever read it, ever prayed before. Fellowship more than we ever fellowshiped before. God brings people together. Satan divides. Satan always divides. He'll get you. He'll get the weak ones separated over to the side and eat you up. But praise God, we've got a good shepherd. I ain't talking about me. I'm talking about we got a real shepherd that's with you when I'm not. Amen. That'll bring you back in the fold if you'll just let him. Amen. But now remember, that shepherd hook goes out there pretty quick and drags you in. It's not just something where they pat you on the back and say, come on over here. Remember, he had to break, the analogy of one, he had to break one of them's leg. He kept running off and he had to break his leg to keep it back in the fold. Sometimes God has to put things on us to keep us in the fold. Amen. Because we're human beings. Amen. And we're going to be human beings until this thing's over with. Now, he'll not meet just because you're Pentecostal. He went through the Methodist. He'll meet you under one condition, that's under the shed blood. When your sins has been confessed and expelled in his presence, then by the blood. And the blood is always before him. And therefore, he only can see you through that shed blood. And you're white as snow, see, when you've confessed your sins. Otherwise, you're not there. You cannot fellowship. That's the reason that you don't see things happening in the churches. They confess that they believe the blood, but they reject the very plan to get to the blood, which is the word. All right? There's only one way God will honor that word. You'll never honor that word. Come and say, I'm a Roman Catholic. I demand this to be done. You can't do it. Methodist, Baptist, you can't do it. The only way you can do it is under the mercies of God through his grace is to come through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, I claim the promise. And then if you really are under that blood, watch. God is obligated to his word. Amen. So he's obligated to you. Amen. He's obligated to his word, not anything else. But if you put yourself in there, he's obligated to help you. Amen. But first, you got to be under the blood. All right? We don't have to be handshaking like the Baptists. Join a fellowship like the Methodists. Speak in tongues like the Pentecostal. And whatever you want to say all the other ones is. We know that's what Brother Branham was saying. He said it's the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And when you come under that, it doesn't divide. It brings everything together. Now, sure, it divides the sin, but it brings us together in fellowship with each other. Brotherly kindness is hard to do sometimes, but God told us we needed to do that. Right. Need to have brotherly kindness. I preached one sermon that Thursday night at the tent, and there's a lot of ministers there and probably a lot of different ideas, but I preached on a new commandment. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you. Not an old one, a new one. He says, love everybody. Amen. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Do good to those that despitefully use you. That don't even feel good, does it? But that's what Jesus said. If you're going to be his disciple, you got to pray for those that despitefully use you. Oh, it gets quiet, but that's okay. Have you ever tried that, though? The Bible said if you do it, you'll heap coals on the person that you're praying for. You can't do anything about them. You can do something about you. But you can't do anything about them. But start loving everybody. Let's all get to loving everybody. And love them with godly love, not this garbage love like the world's got. Oh, I just love you. I love to hunt. I love to fish. I love. Love is just, that word is just horribly used word. Even you can't love your wife as much as you love her. You can't love her with agape love if you don't have the new birth. And she don't have the new birth. It's all filial love. It's all love down here on the earth. Unless you got the agape love of God, you can't love people. That's why the born-again people will and will always love one another. It's the mixed multitude that you have to worry about. All right, now listen. Just for a second, then we'll be done. From then on comes the word and the word only. From the old paschal lamb passed away and Christ became our lamb at the day of the crucifixion. At the day that the denomination crucified the word of God and accepted a creed instead of the word, that's the day the word came into full effect. Now look, you would think he would say, no, that diluted the word, that made it softer. No, he said the only time the real word can come into full effect is when they do that. When God gives it, we go through persecution, And we're a child of God. It's for our good. And I know you hate that, but that's the way it is. We're just human beings. But if they accept the creed instead of the word, that's the day the word come into full effect. That's just been recently. All right, everybody with me? He's referring to the seals. That just was recently. And today I indict this bunch of ordained ministers in their creeds and denominations. They are crucifying to the people the very God that they claim they love and serve. I indict these ministers in the name of the Lord Jesus upon their doctrine that claim that today's miracles is past, that water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ is not sufficient and not right. Upon any of these words that they have substituted creeds for, I indict them as guilty. He's already been judged, jury, execution. He indicted them, and then he put them where they're supposed to be. Now watch. Blood of Jesus Christ is on their hands for crucifying afresh the Lord Jesus the second time. They are crucifying Christ to the public, taking from them the thing that they're supposed to be giving to them, and they substitute something else in its place, a church creed for popularity. The church hated him. Why? He was the very God. They hated him and denied him to be their Messiah. No, sir. They didn't want such a Messiah as that. Now listen, and today the church does the same thing. It denies the word. They don't want it. It's contradictory to what they've been taught to believe by their creeds. And the word is the Messiah. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Congregation says amen. Well, the reflection of the word is what? A reflecting a Messiah. That's why Brother Bram called us Little Messiahs, and I love that. He gave me the title. Little Eaglets, Little Messiahs. He gave me that title. I got to learn how to live it.
Right.
Which is the Holy Ghost among us. He is reflecting himself, tries to, wherever he can find a lamp that he can look through that ain't smoked up with creeds and things. He gives the light through. So he's come to a place where he said, look, this is it. My ministry is transitioning. Like I said, he never compromised, but he would always greet them and say this and say that. But he come to a place where those seals opened up. He said, there's right and wrong. There's white horse, black horse, red horse, gray horse, and that's all Satan. And then here's the bride over here. There's a separation time. And that's when he could preach all the other messages. I want to read you this, then we'll close. Cut some up short. Won't be too long today. We've got visitors here. Now watch. This is another witness, but this is in 1958. I want to show this witness. And this has really struck home to me at reading it the way Brother Branham put it out. Tonight, when they just called him Beelzebub, he said, I'll forgive you for that. But when the Holy Ghost has come and does it, there'll never be forgiveness for that. All right? So I say to Jesus, after his death, burial, and resurrection, his power is stronger and more persuading tonight than it was back there in that day. So what will she do? He's talking about the Queen of Sheba. So what will she do to this generation? We're talking about a generation. For this is God's last call, sending the Holy Ghost into the church to call his people. It's God's last call. She wasn't scared. She didn't care what the presbyter was going to say when she got back. What the bishop and all them was going to say. She stood publicly and she said, all that I heard is the truth, and more than I heard is the truth. Can we say that ourselves? If we heard the truth and more of the truth than anyone else is on the face of the earth, is come to me and you.
Amen.
Man, you ought to take that. We hold dear all kind of stuff. We hold dear stuff from the past and stuff, relics. We don't want the kids to break that because grandma gave it to us. Well, what about the word of God? You do the same thing with it? Well, I'm going to preach anyway. Because we all got to do that. We all got to quit looking at relics. And look at the truth, the word of God. Now watch what he says and then we'll close. She stood publicly. She said, all that I heard is the truth and more than I heard is the truth. She stood for God and she supported the things. And she stands today. Immortal with the words of Jesus Christ that says, When she rises on the scene in the resurrection, her obedience to God will condemn that generation. Wow. For she stood for what was right. You know what Brother Ram's talking about. The underlying meaning of this whole thing is the denominations are getting ready to cut him off. They don't like him anymore. They don't like the he's getting ready to start bringing doctrine. This is 1958, coming up 59, 60. For she stood for what was right when God sent his gift to the earth and it was being manifested. She came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. 1958, have faith in God. What will she do when she comes to the judgment with New England? Georgia, Lula. In the day of judgment, when people won't come across the street, they won't walk. They'll leave their television alone, won't leave their television alone long enough to come and see. And she'll rise up in the judgment and condemn millions times millions of American church members. Church members. Just don't be part of that group. Just don't be part of that group. But she will rise and she will condemn millions times millions of American church members. Let's don't start the year off as a church member. Let's start the year off as a bride of Jesus Christ. Let's start the year off that God, you're coming. I know you're coming. I see the signs. I see all the signs and the signposts are up and everything's getting ready. Lord, just get me ready. Amen. Let us be more diligent, more vigilant. And as I said last year, year before last too, whatever you got inside, let it out. Let your talent show. Let your signs show. Let your gift show. But if you got something in you that's wrong, let it out too. Get rid of it. Let's stand to our feet. The Queen of the South, she was extremely rich. She was powerful. But the prophet of God said she traveled hundreds of miles. There's one quote I didn't bring where Brother Branham illustrates it as her sitting in his congregation and watching the signs and wonders and watching Solomon with his gift and the gift of discernment. Of course, he was talking about himself, but he was using that as an illustration. And it said she sat there and wondered. And said she didn't get up and leave and call her state presbyter and tell him what was going on. She sat there, and at the end of it, you know what she did? She supported it. She took all the gold, all the silver, all the ever how many 30 camels or ever how many loads of treasures she had, and she laid them at the feet of Solomon because of the gift that he had. She supported it. Let's support the gift of God. You don't have to do it monetarily. I'd rather do it prayer. Do it prayerfully. Praying that the Word of God will be more strong this year than ever before. Our kids are growing up. They're getting to be adults. They're going to step out in this world without God? I hope not. So we're going to pray for them more and more and more. God bless you. Just take these words and listen. There was a whole generation was indicted by a prophet. And that indictment didn't go away. It's still happening right now. Every time the word goes forth and somebody turns it down, they're being indicted by the word of God. Not by William Branham. By the word of God. Through a prophet which said, I indict this whole generation for the second crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Let's don't crucify him again. Let's open our heart up and let that living God live inside of us. And then do the works that he told us we could do. Let's sing a song. God bless you. If you have a need.
And I just want to thank you, Lord, for letting me hear your words. What have I done to deserve?
Nothing. Such you did nothing to deserve what God gave us. But he saw something in you that the world can't even see.
For that special night.
He saw you.
With
tearful eyes,
light,
but with joy in your heart,
face, with
he saw you loving
life,
more.
Lord,
he saw you open the word and read it more than you've ever read it before. Not let the world get in your way.
You didn't
not let something go on that don't need to be. Each one of us, get rid of all that stuff. God wants to use us, and I promise you, brothers and sisters, He will manifest Himself through somebody. There's going to be a willing vessel that will let Him live through them. And Lord, just let it be us.
Then I heard recognizing your name, serpent seed and perfect faith, the preach and the message of grace.
Lord, I surely thank you. How many thanks the Lord this morning? Lord, I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you, Lord, for letting me hear your word. What have I done to deserve the glory revealed
to me? Thanks for that special night when I saw eternal life.
Just give her a safe trip. Nothing.
I think
and you'll help each one that's there. In Jesus' name. Bring her back safe. Amen.
Not even in my wildest dreams did I think.
Did you think when you were out in the world that you'd ever be sitting in a church
as
that preached that it wasn't an apple that he made? That there's not three gods, there's one.
I have heard
that there's not a Trinity.
Now I see
water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus
God
Christ is the only correct baptism. Did you ever think that? No, you didn't.
Spoken word is the
original. But God brought you here for a purpose.
And, Lord,
and He wants us to what? Live it back out. Live it back out.
And I just want to thank you, Lord.
You've heard me tell this story before, but I was sitting in the, getting ready to go on a trip somewhere, and Atlanta Airport's just full of people. They just, all kind of people. It's a melting pot. And you sit there, and as Sister Christine and Brother Luis and I were sitting there, you know, you can close your eyes, and you can tell who's late. Because you hear the thing coming down there, blum, 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 blum. Because they're late, and they're pulling their luggage, you know, trying to get there. And then you got the ones, Lord, that's like us, that get there an hour or so before, and we just leisurely sit around and talk. But I was sitting there one day, and, Lord, in Atlanta, if you sit there long enough, you can see 3,000 or 4,000 people and just in one row, you know, walking through the airport. And I said, God, why did you choose me and not these people? Why did you choose me? Why did you let me hear this? Why did you let me come to this? He spoke to me just as plain as day. Not an audible voice, but inside of me, he said, you accepted me, and they won't. That's the difference. You accepted me, and they won't. You know, I wondered many, many times how that God could cut somebody's life short or let somebody live like Adolf Hitler and different things and do all that, and we know it's the grace of God. But you know, if God knows everything, he knew that if he give Adolf Hitler 1,000,000 years to repent, he'd never repent. He'd never come to that place. So he let him do what he did for a purpose and took him off the scene. Same way with even young people and like friends and stuff that God takes off the scene. And well, you know one thing's for sure. If they're not bride, they're not going to have to go through the tribulation either. So they're going to come up to the white throne judgment, and maybe they have to give an account. And then we can say, that brother was good to me. That sister gave me a glass of water. That brother changed my tire, or that man changed my tire. And God's going to look and say, all right, because of that person, you're going to get eternal life. That's what eternal life is. It's living for others. Not living for yourself, living for others. You love the Lord? Remember Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, we'll have a service till midnight. We'll have a little bit of finger food downstairs at 6:30. Everybody's invited to come. Bring a song with you. We'll have time to sing. We'll have time to have testimony. Brother Andrew Glover will be with us. And then at midnight, we'll take communion. And then we, no foot washing, but communion. And then we will not have service on Wednesday night. And then next Sunday, Brother Donaldo from Honduras will be with us. And we just expect a good time in the Lord. And remember, in February, we'll set our goals of what we want to do each Sunday in February. If you want to do a cooking class, or and we'll do it all here, except for maybe the, if you want to learn how to archery or gun, we'll go down to my range or some range that we got down there to safely learn how to use a gun or archery's just fun. I mean, I just, you know, archery's fun. And, I mean, Joe knows, and Brother Jonas, they know, and where's Sophia? Sophia, it's just fun. It's just a fun thing to do. So, and listen, I believe in having fun in the auspice of the Word of God. All right? You can have fun as a human being and not be a zombie. All right? You can have fun like that and still be the bride of Jesus Christ. That way you can project yourself to the people. God bless you. Good to see each and every one of you. The visitors with us and the brothers that's here with us that's been here before, we sure appreciate you coming. Do not leave till I shake your hand. All right. All minds clear. God bless you. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day you've given us. Lord Jesus, there was an indictment sent in 1963 that still covers today. You're still, through the Word of God and the Bride of Jesus Christ, you're judging this world, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that our judgment will be as yours is, be grace. That we give grace, Lord, that you give to us, Father, that we'll give it to the people. And the grace will cover each and every one of us, Lord. Be with us until we come back together Tuesday night, Lord. Bless the ones that are here that are visiting. We pray that we've said something maybe that'll help them, Father. And that if they'll continue on their journey, that you'll be with them, Lord. I pray that you'd bless us now and sanctify us, Lord. Give us grace. Lord, we come into this perfection. And Lord, it's not going to be easy, because when you come to the day to where you said, I and my Father are one, Lord, it got hard. People didn't want you anymore. They didn't even want to hear you anymore. They literally wanted to kill you, and they finally did. So, Father, I pray that you'd take everything out of our life that's contrary to you, Father, and that you'll give us a blessing that we can't contain. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Yes, isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen and ears have heard what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Oh, isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Oh, eyes have seen, ears have heard. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Oh, wonderful, 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 wonderful. Isn't Jesus my Lord so wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard, recorded in God. just my Lord, wonderful. Isn't he wonderful? Have seen and ears have heard what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord?